In the Redback Church hymnal, there's a song on page 56 and 57. On page 56, the title of the song is Grace for Every Need. There is joy divine that is ever mine since the Lord has forgiven me. I work and sing for my blessed King. By His grace, I have been set free. Oh, this wondrous grace is for all the race. It is boundless and full and free. I trust and cling to my blessed King, who by grace now is keeping me. There is grace for every need, grace full, grace free, saving grace, yes indeed, flowing from the throne above, grace to hide all my sins, grace free, grace is free, grace to hide all my sins. And then, at the bottom of page 57, John Newton, a one-time slave trader, put it in these words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." The grace of God is indeed amazing. When the Greeks used this Greek word grace, they were talking of favors that was extended to other Greeks, to friends, to people they loved, to people who would reciprocate, who would in return show them some grace or cut them some slack. But when God uses this word, when He extends grace, it's not just to His friends. It's not to those that will reciprocate. God extended His grace to us while we were yet sinners. Paul's portrait of us is not attractive. It's not a pretty picture. We were unable to help ourselves. Living against God, sinners, God's enemies. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 6, 8, and 10. Verse 6 tells us, "When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. God commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." I read the story of one family therapist who tells of a man who set out to adopt a troubled teenage girl. The girl was destructive, disobedient, and dishonest. One day she came home from school, ramshacked the house looking for money. By the time the man arrived, she was gone, and the house was in shambles. When his friends heard this, they urged him not to finalize the adoption. "Let her go," they said. "After all, she's not really your daughter." His response was simply, "Yes, I know, but I told her she was." God, too, has made a covenant to adopt His people. His covenant is not invalidated by our rebellion. It's one thing to love us when we are obedient and willing, but when we ramshack His house and steal what is His, that's the real test of love. God showed His great love to us while we were yet sinners. The Father didn't look at the wrecked home and say, come back when you've learned some respect. Neither did God look at our messed up lives and say, I'll die for you when you deserve it. Nor did David look at Mephibosheth and say, I will rescue you when you've learned to walk. Who is this Mephibosheth? When you hear his story, you'll see why I mention his name. If you'll turn to the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, you'll see him there. Saul's son Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news came from Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan was dead. I'll read it to you right out of the Bible. In 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us that Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. I refer to him as the crippled prince. And if you'll turn to chapter 9, I'll begin reading at verse 3. This takes place after David had settled in his kingdom. God had blessed him to win many victories, and now there was peace in the kingdom. And in chapter 9 and verse 3, David said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And his servants said unto him, Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet. So what do you think David said when he heard that Jonathan had a son that was crippled in his feet? David says, Where is he? The servant replied, He's in Lodabar. Lodabar. Even the name sounds foreboding. And you know what the good, benevolent king did? David sent and fetched him from Lodabar. This is a great illustration of a great loving king showing mercy to someone who could not reciprocate. And the Bible says that when Mephibosheth came to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said to him, Fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. Have we not received grace and kindness and love for the sake of someone else? And then David said, I will restore unto you all the land of your fathers, and you shall eat bread at my table continuously, as one of the king's sons. Is that not what our heavenly King says to us? Is that not what King Jesus did for us? He has allowed us to eat at his table every day as one of his sons. Oh, the love that God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. This reminds me of 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter and verse 8, where Hannah spoke and said, He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill. He sets them among princes. That's what I call grace. Let me pause here for just a few moments and remind you that when Mephibosheth came into the presence of the king, he did so with fear and trembling, bowing his face to the ground. The great king saw that fear and anxiety So the first words he spoke to him was, "Fear not." And don't you know, our King has been known to say the same thing. Are you aware that the most repeated command from the lips of Jesus was, "Fear not"? Are you aware that the command from heaven not to be afraid appears in every book of the Bible? Friend, you don't have to fear God. He loves you. But don't we need the assurance that our King is a gracious King? Paul says that assurance comes from the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The cross is God's guarantee of His love. His Son's sacrifice is the covenant by which He will never leave you nor forsake you. Did Mephibosheth understand grace? Do you see our story in his? Children of royalty, crippled by a fall, permanently marred by sin, living a life today, not by our beauty, but by His promise. He has called us to Himself, invites us to take a permanent place at His table. Though we often limp more than we walk, yet we take our place next to others, other sinners made saints, and we share in God's glory.